reminder, today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. You may begin.
Okay, shall I do a roll call, Edmund?
Sure, that would be good.
Thank you. On the call, we have Eric Brunner-Williams, Edmund Chan, Avery Doria, Adam Palmer, Steve Del Bianco, Terry Karp, Chuck Gomes, and from staff we have Julie Headland, Olaf Nordling, and myself, Ben DeSantavi. Thank you, Edmund. Over to you.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, everyone. So I guess I'd like to start off by saying that it's good to have a more more discussion in on this topic and on the mailing list. I put out just a few points to go over for the meeting, sort of like a brief agenda. Each particular point I wrote a little bit more than sort of a short sentence. But I wonder if people have had a chance to take a look at it and whether they want to, anyone wants to add any item to it. I'll quickly go through it. And the reason why I chose it is really trying to lead towards whether there is possibly a line of discussion that this group can take. So there were four items. One is we sort of mentioned it on the list as well about the time difference between IDN CCTLDs and IDN GTLDs, and whether we are continued to be committed towards minimizing that time lag, which has become what seems to be have become apparent that there would be. The second line was there was quite a bit of discussion of whether I've characterized it as such. You might disagree, but in essence, whether the discussion of implementation of IDN GTLDs would affect the time, like a focused discussion on IDN GTLDs would affect or not affect the time schedule of the full new GTLD implementation, whether or not we talk about tracks or, you know, how we go about this. This is number two. The third item was both Chuck and I mentioned, and also Eric talked about this, dealing with the issue of having a confusingly similar TLD, and right now the DAG does not handle that at this point. Is this one of the areas that IDN GTLDs should pay attention to and at least add or augment the DAG so that this is possible? And then the fourth one goes back to really the question of categorization, if whether, you know, a follow up on number two, really whether tracks or any type of categorization or focused discussion on IDN GTLDs would actually help the whole process overall. So,
Edmund, could you restate number two again, please?
Number two was, every time we raise this issue about IDN GTLDs, whether in the light of a special track or not, if we spend time to discuss this issue, there has been...
Right. That's the claim that if we do anything, we'll stop everything.
Right, correct.
So anything is the progress of everything. The enemy of, excuse me. Okay, thank you.
So those were the four items that I sort of listed out. Anyone have anything to add that they think should be on the agenda? Okay. Well, I guess, you know, we can just get started, and just feel free to jump in. I guess there isn't a lot of people at this point, but if it gets confusing at that time, we'll take a cue sort of thing. So, and of course, I sort of designed the flow to try to get some, obviously some, see if there's some consensus that could be around the group so that we can drive towards a particular line of discussion. So the first item was whether people felt that there is continued commitment, because this was raised in on the list earlier, whether there is continued commitment towards trying to minimize at least the time lag that has become seemingly apparent between the introduction of IDN CCTLDs and IDN GTLDs. I guess I can start by saying that yes, I think there's continued commitment towards that, and we are we're standing by the couple of resolutions that Chuck did point to earlier on the list from the GNSO about this issue. Anyone want to add to this?
Stop. I want to ask a question about sovereignty.
Yeah, I'd like to get
the question
up to you
I
also.
Have Can I go?
Go ahead, Avi.
Okay, the question I have when you ask is the commitment. I believe you that in the GNSO world, for the most part, that there may be a commitment to that. I'm not sure what the answer to that is in ICANN in general. And I'm wondering if when you ask that, you're asking both questions, or you're just asking, does the GNSO still want to? I mean, I haven't gone back to the non-commercial stakeholder group, and I will do that at a certain point with these questions once I fully understand them. But so that's one question, but I think the other one is just asking whether there is that commitment in general within ICANN, or is that not really a feasible question to ask?
Well, I guess, at least on my point, I drafted it from a GNSO point of view, not the council, but generally, that the GNSO council resolved the issue. But I think I'm bringing it up as a, you know, a general GNSO point of view. So not necessarily ICANN overall. But does anyone else have any idea on this? I don't think. Right. Chuck.
Edmund, Eric wanted to be in the queue, but please add me to the queue too.
So Eric and then Chuck.
Thank you. In the first instance, I think the issue is the council itself. It's made a policy statement, and if the policy statement is no longer if the council repudiates it, it's good to know that. So since several of the persons who are on the council, who are on the list, registrars in particular, have indicated that they are opposed to what I interpret myself naively as the continued application of that previous statement of the council, that there be a minimum delay and that there not be advantage, then it's useful to ask, does the council repudiate its former position? If so, then we know where we are. If it doesn't, then presumably we have something to go forward on. And I'll now let Chuck speak.
Thanks. First of all, I don't think anybody on the council or in the GNSO disagrees with a commitment to minimizing the lag. I don't think anybody really opposes that. What people oppose is specific steps to do that might cause delays for some new GTLDs over others. So I think, first of all, we need to restate the issue. I think it's a no-brainer answer to the way it's worded right now. nobody's, I don't think anybody, I think everybody wants to minimize the lag between the two. But some people are concerned that if we take whatever steps to do that, it may delay their interests being fulfilled. So I think we should rephrase this, and I think Aubrey may have, at least in part, be kind of getting at that point.
Right, and that sort of is why I put number one and number two items, items number one and number two in that sort of sequence and together. But I guess going back to Eric's question is, do we need to go back to the council? And I think generally, I don't, at this point, as Chuck has mentioned, I think on this specific topic, without number two, number one is seems to be quite clear, and I think I get that sense, except for Avery asking whether this is talking about the GNSO or the ICANN community in general. I'm not sure about the ICANN community in general, but at least on the GNSO side, this seems to be a continued to be a commitment, which brings us to number two, really. And number one and two are really, it cannot be discussed in isolation in a sense. So number two is, you know, yes. So if we talk about certain steps being taken, the first step will have to be a discussion of what those steps might be. What these subsequent steps might be. There seems to be a concern even for taking the first step, which is to form some sort of a team to discuss it. Right. So.
We have at least three people on the list who said this list shouldn't exist because it might harm it might delay the introduction of GTLDs generally.
Right, so unfortunately we don't seem to have them with us today, but Avery was
I have a similar point. First of all, it has nothing to do with the list existing or not. I think the list existing to discuss this, it's not a problem. It goes back to my first question. If getting new GTLDs is, as I suspect, within the ICANN community at large, sort of an uphill swim, because there are some kinds of new GTLDs that are strongly objected to. Now, there's different communities objecting to different things. Some object to the corporate. Some object to anything where, you know, it's a general one as opposed to something that resembles a support. Some are objecting to various other things. So there are many groups that are objecting to a kind of GTLD coming out. So I see not only the fear that picking anything out of the pack has a tendency to slow down the rest of the pack. That's just sort of a natural effect of dividing up a pack. The other part that concerns me is that if some are allowed to go through, some may be stopped completely. And basically, it's a divide and conquer strategy. And so those are the two fears I have. I'm certainly not clairvoyant enough to say this will occur. It's just those are the fears that I see if I look at letting the effort be divided. It could slow down the rest, and it could kill some. And those are the fears that I think we have to explore. But having
Del Bianco, if I can get in the queue.
That was Steve, right? Did I get it right? That was Steve?
Right.
Okay. Anybody else want to be? Steve, go ahead.
It's just a mirror image of the comment, the concern that Avery raised. I know not on her own behalf, but trying to paraphrase the others who were concerned about the delay aspect. I would say to you that new Latin GTLDs, the policy development for new Latin GTLDs, I would say that is delaying the consideration of IDN GTLDs because of the broader issues of trademark and intellectual property protection that are sort of afflicting and slowing down the Latin GTLD policy development process. And it might well be that that violates one of ICANN's new commitments under the Affirmation of Commitments. Number 9.1 said to ensure the interests of global Internet users. And the global Internet users, 56% of whom don't even use our alphabet, can't get any GTLDs today. So one way to read this is that all of the work we're doing on the Latin GTLDs is getting in the way of the IDN GTLDs. What do you guys think of that?
I have a question on that. Stop.
Go ahead.
The question I have is, why would any of those issues that are blocking the Latin GTLDs with intellectual property as such not affect the non-Latin, non-LBH, again, we don't have full ASCII, but why would it affect any of those any less? Don't we have the same group capacity problems?
As a theoretical matter, it shouldn't be any different. But as a practical matter, we've just watched as the fast track for IDN CCTLDs have gone to market, and nobody, the intellectual property community, tried to get in the way of that. So the trademark owners, as a practical matter, are far more concerned with the Latin GTLD risks that they face, and they are not nearly as concerned with the IDN, whether it's CC or G's. That, you know, the evidence is clear. There was almost no concern from the IP or trademark community for the fast track of IDN CCTLDs.
I'd like to add to that also, if I may, Steve.
Please go ahead.
The reports of abuse involving the .cat registry are four years for 40,000 registrations. The number of abusive registrations for a museum is also quite small. So while in theory there should be no difference between the Latin and the IDN for any particular policy area, in practice there's a substantial difference between registry operations, between policy registries, or between policies of registries. In general, I support your point, Steve. Thank you.
I'll add a couple of things, and I guess all these questions point back to Avery. I'm sorry, Avery, you're sort of a spokesperson for those who are have concerns about this process. But you mentioned that different groups are objecting different things, and I really, you know, sort of adding to the discussion from Steve and Eric, there doesn't seem to have been a lot of objection about IDN GTLDs in particular. And in fact, sort of repeatedly heard people that as IDN CCTLDs become available, IDN GTLDs are somewhat expected to become possible. You mentioned about same issues for ASCII and IDN, and I think Steve made one particular point. Of course, this sort of brings us to the number 3 and number 4 item on my list, but there are possibilities to address specifically for IDN GTLDs to address those issues in a particular and possibly different way, but the question with this group right now is whether we this group and also JNSO, I guess, the council, I guess, is whether to allow for that discussion to happen.
First of all, I apologize to them, to stop if I can respond, for being a poor representative of their points of view. I'm sure that they could make their viewpoints much better, so I'm pretty much sticking to my question. I guess okay, I totally accept that we have a stronger intellectual, Western intellectual property lobby in ICAB now than we have a non ASCII intellectual property lobby. I would contend that at this point all of our discussions on this have to be theoretical. I think as soon as we see infringements in those areas of the same sort, as soon as we see somebody other than perhaps VeriSign.com in another alphabet, in another script, or something that's close to it like a .biz is, we'll see lots of these issues. So theoretically, I think the fact that we don't have the IPR lobby in non-ASCII is really not that strong an argument to say the same rules, the same basis for the objection. You know, same thing with putting IDN into the root. You know, if we start to put lots of IDNs into the root, how is that any different? I asked that same question with ccTLDs, and I'm told they're special. Maybe IDN ccTLDs are special also. And that's fine. So I really don't see that those arguments necessarily answer. I think it was interesting to see that when the answers came out, one had to do with the IP lobby, and one had to do with there's fewer problems in a supported category than in a generalized category. And that seems to bear out the thing I was saying in the first place, that, you know, there's different groups vying for different things, wanting to basically get their horse in the race quicker. Now, I'm totally sympathetic and have been arguing for quite a while that the CC and the G IDN need to come out together for competitive reasons and that. But I don't see that as an argument for therefore saying, but we don't need any more ASCII TLDs or they can wait, or, you know, the objections we have to them are so strong that maybe it's better if they don't happen at all, as long as we get the IDN out. And that really, you know, even in this conversation, that starts to come out. And that's my concern. And as I say, I'm speaking individually here. I haven't taken this to the NCSG yet to get their view on any of this, which I will do at the right point.
And Edmund, please put me in the queue.
Likewise. This is Eric.
Okay, Chuck, and then Eric.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to back up a little bit to something Eric said, but I'll bring it all forward to where we're at now. Eric asked the question whether or not the GNSO Council should consider retracting the statement that's made in regard to what we're talking about. And I don't think there's any need for that. I don't think the position has changed. Well, we said in our statement that ideally they should go together. But we also said if they don't, then steps should be taken to mitigate any issues that are resolved from that. What was that? Okay. So I think the statements, the various GNSO statements that have been made on this still stand. I don't think there's any need to repudiate those. Now, bringing it forward to what we're talking about right now, the bottom line is that the one thing we can do to reduce the gap is to do everything we can to make sure that the overarching issues and the that the overarching issues are solved and the registrar separation issue is resolved, and then everybody's for that, I think. So now, to the extent that we start breaking it down into certain categories going first, that's where we, whatever way we go, we're gonna run into antagonism, because, like I think Aubrey said, you know, everybody's looking for their own interest there and what they want, which is understandable. So as a general principle, one of the things we can do to reduce the gap is to, you know, do everything we can, and I'm not sure we're the right ones to do that, to make sure that the overarching issues are resolved quickly, and the including the registrar separation issue. Now, what can we do there? I don't know, but whatever ideas we come up with, I think we have to keep those in mind, because any solution that doesn't deal with those will run into problems.
Okay. Eric?
Thank you. I appreciate, Alfred, that you're speaking individually and sort of stuck with representing the points of view of Mike and Stefan and Adrian that they've made on the list. But I want to respond to your making again the claim that in theory there's no need to distinguish, or there's no utility in making distinctions, which was the point of my mentioning that cat and museum have different abuse properties or observed abuse rates than other registries, and that is a, given the presence of the IRT, and I'm glad Steve's on the call, that seems to be a tremendously relevant fact. Similarly, we also have differences of size. In the CCTLDs, we could, just to be absurd for a moment, we could have an application from Pitcairn's Island for the Rongo Rongo script, which actually isn't only exists on a couple of tablets. But my point is, we could have a very small applicant, very small number of users to be benefited by an IDN application by a CCTLD operator. That's at one extreme. At the other extreme, of course, there's the People's Republic of China seeking a Chinese string. These are not things that we should pretend don't exist. Size does matter. And if we're going to try and make the lack of, prevent advantage to existence, then we also have to pay attention to which registry, what size of the registrant base is going to be benefited, and not simply treat them all as if we are all equal. And I'll stop there.
Okay, I guess missed it.
Steve DelBianco, if I could get in the queue.
Okay. I wanted to say a couple of things first and then come to you. I guess the one of the questions to Avery and that area, that position is, right at this point, this group is really talking about a forming potential team to come up with those steps that Chuck has mentioned, is that if we continue to say that we want to minimize it, what are the steps that could be? I put out a couple of possibilities earlier, but really this group is more focused on whether that team would be formed. So, at least right now it seems like a team that would be formed is also an issue. And that is one area that I continue to be a little bit confused I don't understand why. There are different ways to deal with, and I think everybody do agree that if we are going to talk about IDN GTLDs, and especially if we're going to talk about new IDN GTLDs in the breadth of new GTLDs, then those same issues possibly apply, whether they apply the same or they apply in different light of IDN GTLDs. I think we somewhat differ there. I think there are possibilities to deal with that differently so that everyone would be faster. And then on the faster issue, at this point, we're not even we might not be talking about I'm trying to say that this is not a fast track, but a discussion of whether two things, whether a particular track would actually make the whole process faster. That's one. The other is whether the current DAG, in fact, the current whole direction of the of the implementation actually already takes into consideration fully all the aspects of IDN GTLDs, which comes to my number 3 point, which is confusingly similar thing, which we talked a little bit about in the last couple of days on the list. So those two things I still find somewhat, I in fact can't understand, why the objection is to even go down the path of exploring that, because it seems, at least it seems to me, that there are possibilities to deal with it, in a focused discussion for IDN GTLDs. So, sorry, I forgot who is in the queue.
It's Steve Del Bianco.
Please, go ahead, Steve.
And Edmund, I don't want to delay at all the consideration of the points you made on confusingly similar TLDs. But just to prolong the agony of our first 2 points a tiny bit longer, when Avery correctly said that there was a notion of specialness with the IDN CCTLDs, it called to mind those conversations I watched with the CCNSO and even the GAC. And the specialness, the special priority of IDN was about the community served, the non-Latin user community, both from registrants and end users. That was the specialness. And that special need on behalf of registrants and users is identical with the IDN GTLD community. So to the extent that the special stature that was deserving of a fast track, the deserving of an early launch, is there, we share that specialness. But there was something else that the CCTLDs had, in addition to their specialness. They also had simplicity in one regard. They had no contention problems to worry about. There wouldn't be two countries looking for the Arabic version of Egypt, or two entities, two registries bidding on the Chinese version of CN. So they had no contention. That made it simpler. They also probably didn't have objections based on morality and public order, which is another big chunk of the DAG. So they were just as special as they are, but simple as they are, because we do have, probably going to have, contention and objection. Now, with respect to intellectual property concerns, the defensive registration concern, boy, they're the same. There should have been just as much defensive registration concern in the IDN CCTLDs as there is in the IDNGs or the ASCIIGs, but there wasn't as a practical matter, and it may just be that they weren't paying attention, to Aubrey's point. So we are already special, and the question for us is how to make it simpler to justify a quicker launch. And, Edmund, you proposed an idea back in, I guess it was Seoul, on how to make things a bit simpler, which was to go ahead and embrace all aspects of the IRT report, for instance, and say, we'll just do it all. We won't quibble. We won't compromise. We'll just do it all. That was an example. I'm not advocating that necessarily, but we're already special. The question is, how do we make ourselves simpler?
Olaf, could that be in the queue as well?
Please go ahead, Olaf.
Oh, very, very quickly, because there is one other component in the fast track for the IDN CCTLDs, and that is, it is not only IDNs, it's non-Latin scripts, quite clearly. So there is quite a restrictive approach in that regard, because when we're talking about IDNs, quite clearly, that would include anything that includes Latin scripts with diacritics. So we may want to be very clear about what we're talking about.
And
so
that would be a really easy thing to do.
Sorry?
That would be a really easy thing for us to pick up on, I think.
Yeah. Well, at least that's one of the facts of the IDM CCTLD fast track.
And I guess what I'm saying is that if we decided to pursue something here, it doesn't seem too difficult for me for us to start off at that same level, totally avoiding any use of the LDH characters. Well, I shouldn't say that because the hyphen would be fine, I guess. So.
I think you want to say non-Latin script in that case.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
Mrs. Aubrey, well, I'd like to capture that.
Sure,
like
Avery, but I think, please go ahead. Eric was sort of on the queue, but Eric, would you let Avery talk first?
No, I'll wait. I didn't realize Eric was on the queue.
No worries.
Thank you. Steve,
so Eric,
I really take your point, Steve. And in fact, a few days ago in to the list, I wrote that this was my attempt at, I sent my attempt to translate the CCTLD IDN fast track conditions, what they would mean if they were applied. To cheese, and in your second simplicity point, that is that no two countries are attempting to acquire the same string, is certainly also true if we take a look at just the existing GTLD operators and their attempts to acquire, the strings that they might acquire in various scripts. It's clear that Con is not going to go for the same string that Biz is going to go to, even if they both use the same script. So that I really take the point about the literacy being the important part of why IDN is special. But the simplicity point I think we certainly meet if we take just a look at the existing GTLD registry operators and their registries.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think we meet those bogeys, including the bogey that we are talking about non-Latin scripts. I'll let the next speaker speak now.
Eric, just one point, I guess, and then I'll pass to Avery. For the GTLDs, in fact, for IDN CCTLDs as well, there is a possibility that a different registry would like to apply for the string, and that creates contention. But for IDN CCTLDs, in fact, that could happen as well. But just want to clarify that particular part. Avery.
I guess two things I wanted to say. One is, actually three things, because you're asking me a question about there being some kind of working group that, you know, was working on facilitating things going quicker in general. And I personally wouldn't argue against that. Again, I haven't taken that to the stakeholders. It's easy to say we're not going to extend it to any of the expanded ASCII because the CCTLDs didn't. I'm not sure that that's true for the whole community, so it's quick to say. And then if I understood what Eric just said quickly, is it's so much easier if we just restrict this to the incumbent holders of names. And that starts to strike me as being sort of completely against sort of where we were trying to go with the TLDs, which was to open up the market to new people, to open up the market to new local language registries and such, and not have it just be the incumbent Western registries that are doing it all. So to say we're opening it up for literacy is all well and good, but if we put it all in the incumbent names, the incumbent control of the North control registries, we haven't achieved one of the large things, which was to expand the base. So that becomes yet one more restriction that we're adding that seems to be taking away from what was intended. We never intended this to be just a game for the incumbents or to make it easier just for the incumbents.
Aubrey, this is Steve. It's the registrants and end users who achieve the benefits opening things up. Don't be so only concerned with the vendors who happen to run the registry. Our charter is to open it up so I can register my name in all Chinese and that users can type it in all Chinese. That would be achieved.
It's also to open up
no matter who the registry operator was, that would be achieved.
This is Eric. I take Avery's point. However, I don't know who's going to be the first IDN GTLD operator. And I don't want to say that it can't be any of the existing GTLD operators if they meet some criteria that the hypothetical ones can't yet meet. So at some point we have to say who the first one is and why that one comes first. And if we say that it can't be any of the ones that are presently holding a registry, you know, a delegation in the IN route, then we have to come up with a good reason why we're doing something else, which may take longer.
Eric, I didn't say that it couldn't be an incumbent. What I said is it can't be only an incumbent.
Right.
And basically the restriction you're trying is only, it would limit it only to incumbents.
It mirrors the existing CCPD program.
I'd like to take a cue, actually. So it was Eric, and then who?
Put Chuck back in.
Chuck, Eric, Chuck, and then was it Steve?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Eric and Chuck.
Right, thank you. Every, the point isn't to limit it, but rather that there has to be a beginning, a initial one or more registry applications which are accepted and eventually become operational. And if we take as a guide the conditions imposed on the CCPLD fast track, that is one or perhaps two particular scripts per registry, the scripts are non-blasting, and of course the implicit restriction that the only CCC, that is existing registry. If we say those are useful restrictions, it caused the program to occur that did not otherwise occur, and there is no other PLD introductory program that is actually taking place right now. There's just one fast track for CCs. If we say those conditions made that possible and timely, then replicating those conditions presumably deals with the objections which are plaguing the general PLD program. Thank you.
Chuck, and then I'll add myself to the queue. Chuck?
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to change it because we're coming up on the end of our time, and because we've had such good discussion on the list regarding item number 3 on the agenda, I would hope that we at least spend 5 minutes on that to kind of see where we're at after all that discussion.
Okay, and that's sort of where I was hoping to head as well. So we talked about it being first or second or faster. There is also I also raised this issue that there might be situations where the current process doesn't take into consideration at this point, and it's quite, at least at this point right now, it's quite specific to IDN GTLDs and all those who are interested in IDN, seeing IDN GTLDs happen. That is that, current IDN GTLD, GTLD registries are interested to introduce IDN versions in quotes of their existing GTLDs, and the current process doesn't seem to be very welcoming to that, especially on the issue of confusingly similar. There were possibilities to address those issues which Chuck and I mentioned, and in fact those are, those also address some of the items that Avery and the group mentioned about the overarching issues. So the question really is, do we think that there is need to address that particular issue of actually applying for confusingly similar TLDs, and whether sort of specific policies for such application should be developed? I don't think there are any policies developed. It's just that really the whether an implementation plan for that needs to be put together. Anyone want to? Avery, and then there was some other person, or
Chuck.
Okay,
Olaf,
Avery,
please.
Avery, Chuck, and then Olaf. Anybody else? Avery, please go ahead.
Okay. I'd almost like to defer to Olaf first, but unless he wants to jump first, he can, but I
can be very, very quick, actually, because now the policy, as it's stated, says that, they should not be confusingly similar, full stop. So either the IDN strings that you're thinking about as aliasing or whatever are confusingly similar, and then there is a need for policy change, or they're not, and there is no need for policy change. But the policy as it runs right now is pretty clear.
I don't know that necessarily covers the issue, which is something that is confusingly similar, unless the guy that owns the thing that is confusingly similar to is the one that wants it. Now, my feeling is that in that case, the follow-up extended procedure was the appropriate solution. And the reason I argue that is because of the complexity of resolving the issue. I think in just our couple conversations, we already saw that there were several different ways in which that complexity could be dealt with, that complexity does not even deal with closely, you know, the lookalikes. My example of giving three things that in Hebrew were all, could be all said to be the equivalent of my Ella domain name. And so which of those three in Chuck's view would I have been entitled to? And then are the others on a first-come, first-served basis? And I'm sure that processes can become, a registry could come up with a coherent set of recommendations for how they would deal with it, but there's no standardized set of those. They'll all be very complex, and I don't think it's anything that you want to front-load into the process. I think if you want to do that, it's got to be in the extended evaluation.
Or rather, in the objection process, because the extended evaluation doesn't address the confusingly similar any further than is done in the initial evaluation.
Chuck, and then I am putting myself in the queue as well.
Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah. And I agree, Olaf, that the policy as it's stated right now is kind of black and white, but I don't think that was ever intended to be that. I don't think there was ever any intent to restrict multiple IDN versions of a given name. And if anybody thinks differently than that, I'd love to hear it. So I do think that either a policy change or a policy clarification, and based on, if you look at the whole development of the recommendation number two, that it's probably a policy clarification to do that. And I'm still not convinced it has to be an extended evaluation, although I'm not opposed to that, if that's the way to go. The string evaluation process has two parts to it. It has the preliminary screening, and then it has a more detailed screening. And it doesn't seem like it would be hard for me, for the panel that does the second part of that process, to determine whether, in fact, there really isn't the confusion that we're trying to avoid. There may be exceptional cases where it may need to go to extended evaluation, but at least where I'm at now, it doesn't seem like that should necessarily be true. I guess another question that we have then is, okay, this is a little bit different topic than what this group was formed to do, but we have pretty good diverse representation in this group, including those that aren't on the call. And we could possibly come back with a recommendation to the council, if there was interest in doing that, of a suggested clarification in that regard. So I guess the question I'm asking is there interest of those that are in this group in doing that?
I guess I'll continue with that part, is that that's exactly where I want to head, is that people... whether people think there needs to be a clarification on this part, I guess by the council, and whether there needs to be further work on the subject here or at the council or elsewhere?
Anyone?
Eric?
Answer Chuck's question.
Please go ahead.
Obviously, yes. I mean, you know that I think that the policy needs clarification here. It was never really intended to deal with multiple applications by the same applicant for strings which are proximal to each other. So we should clean this up.
And by the way, this is not only for existing registries, because I think there will be many new TLD applicants that want to offer their strings in some IDN versions as well, so it would apply to them as well.
I agree. There'll be applications for something in an Arabic script in Arabic and an Arabic script in Farsi, which are sufficient, which a Anglo evaluator in Marina Del Rey will conclude are confusingly similar, but which, just as FCTC equivalences are for literate Chinese, are intentionally non-confusing through their similarity.
Okay. I was just bringing up the very long new GTLD final report as well. Although the recommendation does have it fairly simple, there's a long discussion in the further down below, which talks about the intent, which seems to be pretty clear what the intents were, and what we're talking about right now is not in violation of those intents. The follow-on question is whether it is just the clarification or whether there's more work to do in terms of how this could be added into the implementation plan. And that particular question is whether we just make the clarification and throw it back to staff, or whether we try to form a team that would talk about how the implementation would look like and then pass it to staff. And Avery seems to say that the extended evaluation is what is a mechanism for doing that. I personally think if we can solve the issue with a clear implementation set of criteria, then it's not necessarily that approach, because I actually disagree with what you mean by the many complexities. And in fact, I'm still wondering whether you understood the sort of possibility that Chuck and I had mentioned in the last few emails on the list. There are possibilities to simply make it really simple and see that those confusion does not occur, and most importantly, not anything above and beyond the IDNs in the second level that could happen at, today. So my real question, there are two real questions. One is whether a specific process for this issue should could be created, and whether some team could be put to create that. And the other one is there, I don't sort of agree with the argument that it is inherently going to be extremely complicated, and we cannot set certain simple rules for initial evaluation. Avery, I'm not sure whether you want to add to that.
I'd like to get in the queue for after Avery responds.
Avery doesn't seem to want to respond. But why don't you go first, Eric?
He went on forever. Edson, this is Eric.
Eric, why don't you go first?
Thank you. I think what we have is a more general problem than merely the string collision by a single applicant. We have the more general problem of the evaluation process assumes that all applications are independently authored and evaluated independently. And we have no mechanism yet to signal that a group of applications share some evaluation property. And that, I think, is the general problem that we're looking at. It is the case that we could toss all these string confusions into extended evaluation, and it's not excessive cost for them to go that way, although it's avoidable cost, but we wouldn't be taking the opportunity we have of changing the way that the evaluation approaches the stream of applicants so that the applications which have a relationship with each other can be evaluated dependently rather than independently. And there are significant savings that can be achieved by evaluating applications which have interrelationships in a dependent rather than an independent fashion. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Is Avery still on the call? I just actually want to make sure that, Avery, you did understood what Chuck and I mentioned, because even from the latest email and your example, the Ella example, doesn't seem like you sort of fully grasped what we were talking about. Is anyone still on the call, actually? Suddenly it's all quiet.
Yeah, we're here, still here.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Edmund, if I can jump in there, we're not going to resolve it now, I don't think, because we don't have everybody on the call, but a simple decision I think this group needs to make is this particular issue one that we want to tackle and try and come up with a recommendation that we could put forward, or should this be done in a different group? I'm perfectly comfortable with doing it in this group, but it is a little bit different track than what was originally intended. So I think in the coming days, if we could find out what the sense of people on the list are, as well as those on the call right now, that would be very helpful.
Question? Yeah, that's a good idea. Who is it?
Steve, Edmund. So,
Steve, go ahead.
I understand Chuck's suggestion to be to splinter off this confusingly similar TLD and launch that as a concern once we've validated the concern with the members of this group, because that'll have a life of its own apart from the question of how to speed up the launch of IDNGs.
Well, I think those are two issues. I guess we want to first of all make sure that is being handled with the whole new GTLD discussion, and then I think question number two would be, you know, if we can handle that, whether it could be implemented sooner or at the same time. So they are two questions at this point, I think. Chuck, if you want to add to that.
Well, they are two different questions, but obviously this group was originally formed to deal with the closing the gap and the possibility of speeding up the offering of IDN GTLD. So my basic question was, are the people in this group right now, including those that aren't on the call, interested in pursuing the confusingly similar topic, or would they prefer that be handled in a different venue?
Well, I for one, I'm comfortable with doing it here and probably proposing a resolution to the council. Anyone objected to that? I guess I'll float it on the mailing list as well, because it seems like we now have very good consensus on this call with Avery not speaking, and we will be a lot of things we will have consensus, but that doesn't really mean much, and we should post it back to the list and have it there. But I think that, you know, I'll take Chuck's sort of suggestion, and I think and second it in a sense that I think this, you know, we could try to tackle it in a way and try to present a resolution back to the council.
This is all of just a very, very short memento. Just keep in mind that, the confusingly similar aspect is not IDN-specific, actually.
I do understand that.
Yeah.
I think right now, at least, at least from... that's the bias for based on this group, and perhaps when we talk about it, if we bring it to the council, then maybe we can broaden it up. But I think the urgency, at least, whether for it to be fast track or whether the actual DAG, this is an urgent issue that needs to be addressed. The urgency is in the IDN GTLD side.
By the way, I think Olaf's point is a good one, but I think the arguments that have been made on the list the last few days would apply whether it's confusingly similar related to IDNs or not. Would they not? I mean, the bottom line is if two ASCII names are are confusingly similar by the definition that's in the DAG, don't result in the user confusion that we're trying to avoid, then they should be fine.
Yeah, well, point taken. Still, I just want that we recall that it's not only most certainly when we're within the Latin script, and if you want to address confusing similarity in meaning and other things, well, you've got plenty of languages that use the Latin script, if that's what we mean with confusing similarity.
And it's not so much we're getting into what whether it's meaning or sound or visual similarity. What we're really talking about, if the end result of two strings or more does not appear to result in creating user confusion, those shouldn't be eliminated just because they're confusing, because they are similar. In other words, two strings may be similar, but not create confusion.
Right. And in the eye of the user, which is what counts.
Right.
Right. Okay. We did run for about an hour. I think a lot
This is Glenn. Just to tell you that I've been on mute. Avery has been for since you asked for her to comment, and she didn't make a comment. She was disconnected.
Okay. Is she going to try to call back in?
I don't think so. It looks as though she's left the call.
Okay.
I've got to jump off too, Edmund.
Right. So I guess, just trying to wrap up here. It seems to me that a lot of things that were put forward, at least, has been brought up in the list as well. There's at least one action item out of this discussion, which is the confusingly similar TLD item, and I think I'll float that with the list and try to see if we can take it forward. The other issue seems to remain somewhat unresolved, which is whether we could form a team to discuss the IDN GTLD issues separately, or I shouldn't say separately, but I should say focused on IDN GTLDs, and whether we could actually resolve the issues for IDN GTLDs faster, as well as make the whole process faster. is I think that's really what everybody wants. The whole discussion about having different tracks is that if we the whole premise is that if we focus our discussion on particular categories of new GTLDs, we might be actually be able to resolve some of those issues faster, rather than lump everything together and have to deal with all types of GTLDs in the same breath. So, I guess we'll take the action item from the confusing similar part, and we'll continue to try to raise the issue of the IDN GTLDs, and we'll continue the discussion on the list. Does anyone want to add anything before we close? Hearing none. Yes, that's the wrap for today. Thank you, everyone, for...
Just one question. Do you send to the list the CDNC contact information, since they're dealing with the same subject matter? Thank you.
Sure. It's pretty, just quickly on that issue is that the CDNC is considering essentially the same issue, whether a group could be formed to talk about having IDN GTLDs and resolving those overarching issues with the view of IDN GTLDs and see if we can come to a conclusion faster, and the issue of existing GTLDs applying for IDN versions of their GTLDs, for lack of a better phrase. So yeah, I'll send it along. I'll ask if people on the CNC is okay with that first. But if that's okay, then I'll pass it on to this list as well. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for
Okay.
Your time.
Thanks, Edmund. Bye-bye.
Bye.